Welcome to Unity Fort Worth Online. We are a spiritual center of love and wisdom, affirming God's presence in our lives and reaching the larger community in ever-increasing circles of good.
Yeah, definitely missed me some pita. That's great to be back and listen to that. Yeah, yeah. And all the musicians here, but especially on that one. Thank you. That was beautiful. You know, home is an interesting concept, isn't it? Because home is, as they say, where your heart is, right? It's not a physical place. It's where you feel connected. And I love that particular song because of that, because it's the idea of reciprocity. You know, she bought the vase and he lit the flowers. I haven't done this for 10 weeks, okay? Give me a break.
He provided the vase and the
flowers. Yeah, right. One provided the vase and the flowers. That's it. The other will lit the fire. But there was that reciprocity to it. There was that agreement to work together. And then she would sing the songs. I think it's actually about Joni Mitchell and Graham Nash's love affair that they had at that time. But it's a universal connectedness. Everywhere that Wendy and I would go on our trip, you know, we'd settle down in a place for a week or so, and we'd make it a home. It would be, we'd say we're going home that night, even though it was only a home for 1 week. Because truly in life, you don't know how long it's going to last anyway, right? So you better make a home wherever you are. But there was something fun about that. You nested in a particular place. Doesn't matter if all you had was a suitcase and a few other items. That was your home. And there was a sense of, for that time, it was wonderful. But then at the end of it, you pack up and you move on. And that's part of home, too, is the ability to not stay fixated in one place, right? In one place in physical or in consciousness, right? We have to be willing to move on. So you have to have the home as a consciousness of connectedness rather than a home as a thing or as a certain way of thinking. You have to be flexible to move on. I'm going to tell you a real quick story about our house, that song, because when we were building our house about 7 years ago now, we'd reached the stage where it was just the studs, you know, just the before we put the sheetrock on. So we had a party. We called it a stud party, but don't get the wrong impression. So we had a stud party, and but everybody came and they wrote a prayer or a poem or something funny on the studs, you know, so that then we knew that underneath our house were all these statements. And David Tipps, Andrew's dad, was there, and he wrote the opening lines to our house over the fireplace. And so it's under there. We took a picture of it because we had a special relationship with David. But it's good to know that David, who died now, what, 6-7 years ago as well, is there. You know, his quote, and he loved that song, and he sang it so beautifully. But we wanted to share today some of the things that she's going to ask me some questions, and I'm going to ask her some questions. But we also want you to respond too about any ideas or thoughts that you may have over these past 10 weeks. So you want to kick it off?
Yeah, well, I do, and I want to continue with that discussion about home for just a moment. Yeah. Because when we started talking about home, what kept coming to me was the quote by Ram Dass, the great spiritual teacher, who says, "We are all just walking each other home." And I did a little bit of research to find out what he meant by that quote, "We are all just walking each other home." And he said that for him, home is the one, home is God. And then he talked about a time when his guru in India was looking him in the eyes with unconditional love. And in his heart, he kept thinking, "I'm home, I'm home, I'm home." And when I read that, I resonated to this experience that we've shared together, because I remember, you know, 11 weeks ago, as we were ready to say goodbye to you, I was, I think, sitting in that chair feeling very nervous, very uncomfortable, even though you were plenty friendly that day. But, you know, it was new for me. It was not familiar. And yet here where I sit today, I've received the unconditional love. I've been able to give the unconditional love, this whole field of unconditional love. And so this will always feel like home to me.
Yes,
we are all just walking each other home, home to the truth of who we are, right? It's what you do every Sunday morning. I watch you as you bear witness to each other, you know, as you see through to the heart of someone, you're walking them home to their truth of who they are.
Yes.
So anyway, I want to thank you for
that.
Beautiful. And yes, we've had a great journey here. Paul's had a great journey. So Paul, we want to hear a little bit about your adventure.
Okay.
Wherever you want to start. You might want to start by telling us either some of the high points or maybe some of the funny points, you know.
Okay. Well, before I get to that, I want to piggyback on what you just said, because it came up with an idea came into
so
my mind.
Yeah, so much for our plan. We're just going to go with it here.
But
yeah.
No, but the idea that, you know, we often say, and I've often used this phrase, there is no time or space to spirit, right? It's beyond time-space conceptions, because it is infinitely present. The essence of who we are is all present at all times. That means we live, as the scientists are now telling us, in a non-local reality. So we're not just here, we're everywhere. We're connected because we are one in spirit. So in a very real sense, we are with the ones we love, whether they are alive or dead. We're with Patricia and Brian wherever they go. We're with each other, and it's an amazing feeling, isn't it, to know that. And so once you understand that we are deeply connected, then what you want to do, you want to magnify that idea, right? Because the world teaches, unfortunately, separation consciousness so much, and we're teaching this, what we believe is the reality of the universe, connected consciousness, unity consciousness. So to be a divine antidote to the craziness out there is to remember that truth, right? And to exhibit it as much as we can. And I told everybody, or I mentioned to everybody, I shouldn't say told you, but I mentioned that I told you. I didn't tell you like that. But I suggested that this lady was going to be fantastic. And I think you'll agree that she did a great job, yes? So, and we'd love her to stay. We'd love her to stay, but unfortunately, that's not part of her trajectory. She's got other things she wants to do, but we know we'll always be connected now because we live in that non-local reality, and so her energy is always with us. Okay, question. Let's think. The funniest thing was we were at an Airbnb. I'm not going to mention any names on the grounds that it might incriminate someone. We were at an Airbnb, but it was run by an alcoholic, unfortunately, and a kind of an out-of-control one. And so we had a lot of interesting adventures because we were there for 8 days in this particular place. And it was fine as long as he didn't drink. Unfortunately, he was drinking from the beginning of the month. So anyway, I made the mistake, first of all, of bringing a bottle of whiskey. So we bought a bottle of whiskey in Scotland. You know, we were testing the whiskey out. And the whiskey disappeared. Like, it was gone. It was gone. And as it disappeared, his use of, you know, bad words increased. One point, he got so upset with us, he turned all the electricity off in the house. And don't go to that Airbnb, okay? Whatever you do. Yes, it's a long way out in the middle of the ocean, out in the islands of the Outer Hebrides. But that was a fun week. That was a fun week. Basically, he had a heart of gold, but, you know, once he had the liquor inside of him, it was not a good experience. So probably shouldn't be doing Airbnb. Probably not. So a word of warning there. You never know what you're going to bump into. So that was probably the most amusing thing that happened. After we survived, you know, we walked away unscathed. Oh, my God.
And you live to tell about it.
Live to tell the tale.
Live
to tell the
tale. Live to tell about there it. You know, you might want to also just recap for them where you went, and then you can pick some peak moments.
We didn't know where we were going until like 2 weeks before we left. But we decided to go to one particular place and sort of go deep with it rather than just travel it. Because sabbatical is not about vacation so much as trying to connect and have a spiritual experience. So we spent 6 weeks in Scotland, and mostly outside the cities, out in the wilds, especially in the Outer Hebrides, on the islands, up in the highlands of Scotland. And then we came back because I had to do a wedding for Brittany Touchon, who I've known since she was two. And so we came back here to do that. I don't think many people saw me because I just came to the service and then went on. Then we went off to British Columbia and spent some time on the ocean there. So it's kind of an ocean trip. And then I had to come back, wanted to come back for my grandson's first birthday in Dallas, did that. And then we headed off to Maine and the Acadia National Park in Maine. So it was like going everywhere. But each one was similar in the sense it was ocean, forest, and mountain. So this
and
is what
beautiful.
And beautiful,
you're
yeah.
We absolutely wanted to, beautiful,
wanted
the
to
photos.
Be in nature. We both love nature so much. We both love the ocean. So we chose those places. So that's where we went.
Yeah, and so when you think back to all the different places that you've been, are there moments or experiences that stand out? I know you'll be sharing some of them in the weeks ahead.
Yeah,
I want to
share some things. We want to put a slideshow up if anybody's interested one evening and have a little potluck or something in the fellowship hall, show some of our slides. But we can't do that for a little while because Wendy has got a job project in Australia, and she'll be going to Australia for 2.5 weeks in October, which is great that she's got that job, but it's taken her away from us. So I'm a little sad that, you know, we've been together like peas in a pod. She says we're too enmeshed. That's why I need to go away for a while. So it'll be good for me, you know, because, you know, you don't want to smother your partner, right? I'm okay with it personally, but, you know. So it'll be good. It'll be good to be apart for a while. But it'll mean that we'll have to postpone showing the slides till we get back, till she gets back. So that'll work out. I've forgotten what the question was.
Just
now.
Anything, you know, any particular other, besides the fellow that couldn't stop drinking, any particular other, you know, like special moments maybe.
You know, I think we were looking for having some kind of, you know, spiritual experience, but not trying to push it, because when you try and push a spiritual experience, it doesn't happen. No. And so what we said to ourselves is everything that happens is part of the trip. So we had some business we had to conduct a little bit. We incorporated that and say, that's fine, it's part of the trip. And relaxing into that, I think, allowed things to unfold. Synchronicities happened a lot. You wouldn't believe how many people between the age of 62 and 65 I kept bumping into who were all questioning retirement and what I'm going to do with the rest of my life and this, that, and the other. The custodian of the island we went to, where nobody else except him and his wife, he was going through that same process. We had a guy on a beach in British Columbia just came up to us out of nowhere and said, can you help me? I'm thinking about moving here from the middle of Saskatoon, and my girlfriend lives here. Should I go? Why ask me? You
know, well,
I guess he knew I was a minister or something.
So, Paul, I can say why I ask you, because yeah. You're easy to talk to. You
well,
radiate this wisdom.
Yeah,
I mean,
there
you
we
know,
go. That's
absolutely,
what it was.
That's
yeah.
why.
I like
everybody
this lady.
Wants to
yeah.
talk to Paul. They
Pretty
couldn't
cool.
wait for you to get back.
But it was, you know, we were just sitting on the beach. We stood up, and then this guy comes. And he looked just like a Texan, actually, because he'd been in ranching, but it was up there in Saskatchewan. And he had the belt buckle and the jeans and the check shirt, the whole thing. He just looked. I thought, this is a Texan. But he was a Canadian Texan. And but we tried to give him some advice, you know. But I thought, did he show up for me or did I show up for him? Because we're, you know. And we had about 4 or 5 people like that that showed up. And very interesting. Also, frogs. You know, I think Wendy shared before we left that she was having all these experiences with toads and frogs in our backyard. And they would hang out in our little pond that we'd created. And then there was one that showed up. She can tell you more than I can. But it became a theme, the frogs, you know, and the toads. Well, on our last hike 2 days ago, as we were going up the mountains, she turns down and looks down, and there's a toad, you know. So it was like, whoa, the beginning of our trip, the end of our trip, it's all surrounded by frogs and toads, you know. So if you look up the spiritual significance of toads, I think it represents change and new beginnings and completion and things like that. So it was very interesting that one should show up. But things like that, you know, I think wherever you go, there's interesting things if you are aware of it, if you pay attention to it, right? If you're willing to see. So often we don't see anything. I'm a birder. I like to bird watch. And you'll look out and see nothing. But if you stay there for a few minutes, maybe an hour, all of a sudden you'll see all these different birds show up. Well, they were already there. It's just you weren't attuned to them. You know, you weren't patient enough to see them. I think that's true in life. You know, if you can just stop having to make it a certain way and just allow things to unfold, you'll begin to appreciate the beautiful divine order of everything. And it's always around us. It's always there to support us. It's just we're so busy. What did John Lennon say? Life is what happens to you when you're busy making other plans. You know, and there's so much to that statement, I think. You know, that we're so busy doing what we think we need to do, filling our minds with extraneous stuff often, that we miss the joy of being alive. Because that's part of home. Coming home should be fun, shouldn't it? You know, we're going to have a good time in life. We're here for how many years on this planet? Have a good time. That's my basic teaching. If you're going to be miserable about it, why bother, you know?
Yeah, so we have just a minute here. Any of you have some questions for Paul about his journey that he's just completed? There's one in the back. Yeah, holler it out.
How long was the electricity turned off?
Well, there was a Frenchman and his daughter upstairs, and he comes down real fast down the stairs. He goes, "What is happening? I must have electricity. I must have light in my room." So he turned it back on for him. Yeah.
Anybody else have a question? There's one. Yeah.
Say again. What? Probably, I'll probably drink numerous ones while she's away. I'll be so sad, so sad.
Oh,
yeah.
Dear.
You're gonna have to help me, folks. You know, could be the end. I don't know. No, I think I'll be okay. Yeah. No, I don't like bourbon. Yeah.
Well, you'll have lots of time to ask Paul questions.
Yeah, we want to ask her some questions too.
Okay.
Because tell me about it. You know, what have you learned, and what do you think have been the highlights of your experience here?
Well, you know, I process my learnings sometimes after the experience, so I'm really going to be open as I leave here to just what those learnings are. I can tell you that I was thinking about what some of my peak moment experiences were, and it's interesting. You know, life is a series of moments, and the first thing that came to me as a really special moment, it was every week when I would come and sit in the sanctuary here when nobody else was present, and I would take the prayer chest and hold it in my lap and then read through each of the prayers that had been submitted and hold them in my heart. Truly, that blessed me as much as anything, being able to be in prayer with you and be in this space when there was no physical body here, only the presence of your love. And so that was really special for me. And then I think there was, all the Sundays were special. I don't know how many of you were here on the week that we called Bumps in the Road. You know, we'd been talking about spiritual practice and all kinds of things for several weeks, and then we said, you know, you create your vision, but even once you create your vision, there are obstacles that get in the way. And we talked about how to deal with those obstacles, and we took our fundamental unity teachings and flipped them into five questions that you can ask yourself when you're going through a challenge. So to really make it meaningful, I asked if there was a volunteer who wanted to come forward, and we would work those questions together. And man, that was so rich. Mm-hmm. Robin Miner came forward at the 9:30 service, and then Gloria Gonzalez came forward at the 11 o'clock service and had the courage to sit right here with me, just like you are. And we went right through those questions, and they shared from their hearts. And that was a really meaningful experience to me. And it was meaningful because they opened their hearts, and it was meaningful because it took our unity teachings and put them into practice, right? We could all see right then and there, okay, here's how this principle works in the midst of a crisis. And so that was particularly meaningful.
And you had wonderful meditation class too, right?
The meditation class was really wonderful. How many of you here were in that meditation class? Yeah, I thought there were a bunch of you. We went really deep in that class, and the people were so courageous, Paul. I mean, they were willing to try all kinds of new meditations. I still remember the one gentleman who shared, he really did not like the one meditation that I led. But by the end of it, it had taken him to someplace important, you know, because we tried different kinds of practices. We just experimented. And by the way, you know, if you missed the class, the CDs are in the bookstore, because that was really wonderful. I think what people liked the most, though, was at the end of every class, we ended it with a certain meditative practice. And then we would sit for an extended period of silence. And just sitting in the silence together was so powerful. You know, it is every Sunday. It is. So yeah, I could go on and on about peak experiences. I think what has touched me the most was the courage and the adventuresome spirit that's here. Because you didn't know me from Adam. And nobody really completely understood when I said we're going to have a sabbatical together. But you all said, all right, we're going to dive in. And you have, you know, and it's it was exciting because I've grown as a part of it. My spiritual practice has deepened as a part of it. And my capacity to love has deepened too. Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, you know, and I hope we can continue this as the weeks unfold, because I want to share some experiences that have come to me in my 10 weeks away, but also want to learn what you went through with Patricia and did the sabbatical and did some deepening. So I hope it can be a reciprocal thing as well. Like we started off this talk about talking about reciprocity. You know, it's a both and thing. You've been on a journey with Patricia. I do want to ask, though, you know, if there's qualities that you have found in this lady, what would they be? I know love is going to be one, because she's a presence of love. That's what she likes to talk about a lot. But it's not just talk about, it's what she is, that you can feel it. So that's a given. So we have to come up with something else. What would you say is a blessing to call out a quality that you think that she's exemplified for you in these 10 weeks? What might it be?
Authenticity.
Yeah.
Her spiritual connection was so strong.
Connectedness. All right.
Kindness.
Enthusiasm. So that authenticity again.
Empowers others.
Yeah. Humor. All right. Good. Yeah. We like humor. Generosity of spirit. And now remember that all those qualities that you noted in Patricia, they're also in you, because you wouldn't notice them in her unless they were already in you. So all those qualities are part of our spiritual identity, right? And when somebody models that for us, it's a wondrous thing, and we lift that person up. But she's also lifting you up, because she's saying, yes, I may be modeling some of these things, but they are intrinsic in your spiritual nature too. And this is the empowerment. So at the end of our discussion yesterday, we said, well, we got to give some take home. You know, what is the take home from this talk we've just been doing? And what we came up with was?
Was that, I forgot what we came up with. What did we come up
She's
with,
She's being
Paul?
Authentic. Yeah.
I mean, I can think somebody, if we came up with something particular, something by being a blessing. We're always blessing each other. I don't know what it was.
What I remember us talking about yesterday was teachable moments, you know, and that is a teachable moment right there. You know, there's teachable moments, and I think every moment is teachable if we're open to it, you know. It can start off thinking, oh, my God, there's nothing good in this, like the sermon you gave. But in fact, there is. There's good in it if we can but roll with it, if we can see it as a teachable moment, right, instead of resisting it and instead of seeing it as a problem in our lives. So it's that sense of embracing the possibility, and I think that's the take-home for me. That's what I've learned the most in 10 weeks on the road, is to embrace possibility and to notice how many things seem to come out of the blue at you, you know. But they're obviously not out of the blue. They're meant to be there, like the man showing up on the beach, you know. Who would have thought that? I couldn't have planned that in a million years, but there it was. And it gave me food for thought. It was a teachable moment on all levels. And I see life as that, you know. If you don't want to appreciate anything, that's fine. You don't have to. But if you do, then the universe will reward you richly. I think that's my understanding. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, it does. And we've had a lot of those. While you've been gone, we've been having a lot of those here on Sunday mornings. And I know that you've had them in your own personal lives as well, because you've been telling me about them. And we were talking this morning as we were writing in about how, you know, a minister, you prepare a lesson to give. And, of course, sometimes it shifts and changes as Spirit inspires you. But we make our offering, and how it's received is always up to the individual. And you hear something that is just for you. It's your teachable moment. And sometimes what you hear may not even be what we think we said, but that's the power of Spirit at work, and it's the power of your openness and willingness to allow it to be a teachable moment for you. It's a privilege as a minister to be a part of that spiritual exchange that happens.
Finally, I just want to say how powerful it is to see everybody, and it was awesome just to be standing outside there and welcoming a lot of you, and to see everybody and looking in your eyes and having that connection. And it just seems like old friends, you know, that haven't been gone at all. It's just here we are again. And I love that idea that we have that kind of spiritual community. And I think Patricia's mentioned that to me a lot, the generous-hearted nature of our community. We have a very loving community, and she's been to many spiritual communities and unity churches, so I think she knows what she's talking about. But also, finally, to draw this to a conclusion, we want to thank from the bottom of our hearts Patricia Bass for being with us in our community. Thank you.
And we're going to get ready to do a meditation here in just a moment. And to get us centered in that, I'm going to invite you to participate with me in something. Would you just quietly whisper three times to Paul, "Welcome home, Paul." Just quietly whisper to him three times, "Welcome home, Paul. Welcome home, Paul. Welcome home, Paul. Welcome home." And Larissa is going to lead us into meditation. So I invite you to just become comfortable where you are, close your eyes, feel the love, and hear the music. I invite you to breathe with me for a moment, just gently breathing in and breathing out. And as we breathe together, we remember that right where we are, God is. And this is home. Right where we are, just as we are, God is, and we are home. Our heart is at home in God. If there are any illusions of separation, we peel them away now. If there are any beliefs that we are not worthy. Any thoughts that we are not enough. We gently nod at them and let them go. We are only walking each other home, knowing the presence of the Christ in ourselves and that same presence in everyone we meet. We move now into the quiet, inwardly affirming, God is here. I am home. I am home. And God is here. We are home, and so it is. Amen.
Thanks for listening. This ministry is funded through the generous contributions of individuals just like you. If you have found spiritual enrichment here, please visit us online at unityfortworth.org and make a donation. We sincerely thank you for your contribution, and we affirm with you, divine love through me blesses and multiplies all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive, and I am grateful.